The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
We can hold the Attorney General accountable for the decision that he made without attacking rank and file law enforcement personnel at the FBI. The Republican Party is the party of law and order. Our party stands with the men and women who serve on the thin blue line at the federal and state and local level. And these attacks on the FBI must stop. Calls to defund the FBI are just as wrong as calls to defund the police.
Wow, there's the former vice president under Donald Trump, Mike Pence, basically saying it's the same. If you say defund the police, now those that say defund the FBI, well, it's the same thing. He went on, by the way, after that, to say, let's just let the facts play out. Right? Let's let the communist infiltrators, let's let them make the false accusations. Let's let the FBI just ransack places to carry out pre-dawn raids. Let them target their political opponents. Let them plant evidence. Let them lie to judges. I mean, they've done it. Let them create these plots to kidnap and murder. This has all happened just in the last couple years. Let this play out? Does he seriously think that we should just let these things play out? Just sort of let it run its course? Well, one thing I can say about those who say, let's just let it play out. The longer this supposedly plays out, the more you see who's on the side of law and order, constitutional law and order, and who's on the side of the police state, the communist police state. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining our growing audience. You can get to the live video stream of this show every weekday. That's 11 a.m. in the Central Time Zone of the United States. It's at our website, thetrumpet.com. Just go to thetrumpet.com/live, and it takes you to the live stream page and also to the podcast that we post just as soon as we can after the show is over, Monday through Friday. I just want to play a shorter version of a clip we played on Tuesday's show. This was from Tucker Carlson, again, in response to the FBI raid on Donald Trump's home at Mar-a-Lago, clip 6.
Despite superficial appearances, the raid on Mar-a-Lago was not an act of law enforcement. It was the opposite of that. It was an attack on the rule of law. It was a power grab.
He's exactly right. It was not a law enforcement agency that's trying to uphold law and order. It was an attack on the rule of law. And all the stories since about this raid and how the narrative has changed and just lawlessness of the highest order. And here comes Mike Pence. Here again, they think he's like Liz Cheney in a lot of ways. He's an establishment man. He's an upholder of all things administrative state. But here he is saying to defund the FBI is just like those calling for defunding the police. Does he not understand the difference between a federal policing power that has been thoroughly weaponized by radical communist Democrats? That's what's happened. Going back over the last 10, 15 years, this is what it's turned into. This national police force, a national police force, by the way, that has zero elected representatives in the mix and practically zero oversight. I've played the clips for you. They go before the committees, yes, but then when it's anything a little bit dangerous to get into, they just say, hey, we can't go there. It's an ongoing investigation. So we've got to maintain secrecy here. Hey, just like they came onto Mar-a-Lago No, no, all you representatives of Donald Trump, you stay outside. And we want you to turn off the cameras as well. What we need to do here, it needs to be covered by a cloud of secrecy. That's what this agency has turned into. No oversight. And the way Mike Pence sees it, it's exactly the same as a local law enforcement deputy that's reporting to an elected sheriff or a police chief appointed by an elected mayor. I mean, there's some representation from you, the ordinary people. But this massive bureaucracy, this weaponized agency, this national police force, thoroughly weaponized by Barack Obama. And Mike Pence, he sees that. That's an equivalent of just local law enforcement police officers that are trying to stop criminals from destroying cities like they're doing in San Francisco. I saw a clip this morning, this shop owner. He's moving. His shops, he had five or six shops in the San Francisco, Oakland area. And they just keep, in one case, a truck rammed through the window. Just out of control crime. And you've got radical communist Democrats. They absolutely hate law enforcement when it's people going after actual criminals. But here's Mike Pence. I mean, he must think this is a popular message. He's kind of gearing up for a possible presidential run. That's quite a revealing remark for him to make. We referred to it yesterday and of course, just now played the clip for you. Listen to Steve Bannon's response to what Mike Pence said yesterday. Clip 4.
Of course, we're the party of law and order, right? But this is not what we're talking about. You're talking about a police state, and you don't have the guts to stand up to it. And you're going to give these bromides, I insist, I do this, and no. There is no comparison about defunding the police. We've never called for defunding police. We're calling for defunding the police state, and that is what the FBI has become. We're going to defund it. We're going to deconstruct it. And if they even need a federal investigative service, which people will determine, maybe it's rebuilt in some way, but not this.
That's what the FBI has become. It's become a police state. And, of course, again, I won't take you back to all of our trumpet articles from during the Obama years. As we were warning you that this is where it's headed, and here is where we are. An FBI that's gone rogue, an FBI that's turned into a police state, and to see all of these talking heads just cheering them on, the very same ones that wanted to handcuff local law enforcement because they're there in your city, in your community, to protect you. They want those law enforcement officials handcuffed. They want those law enforcement officers defunded. And now they're on TV saying, hey, FBI comes in. I mean, just let them do it. Let it play out. Let's just let this play out. Let them ransack whatever property they want to. Let them humiliate and arrest anybody they want to. And then we'll just sort of let it play out. Just let the communist attack on the United States of America play out. That's what Mike Pence is essentially saying. Listen to Ari Melber, he's at one of the two, CNN or MSNBC, talking about the Mar-a-Lago raid just yesterday, clip 5.
And we know the Attorney General said they had already tried less intrusive means and then only went in because Trump was not complying. And Garland was basically telling Trump in public that Trump brought the search on himself by all that time refusing to comply. He had well over a year to return the material in general. He had many weeks after it was subpoenaed. He didn't comply at all. That is striking because, remember, it is conservatives and many Trump allies who have been so quick to lecture you and Americans everywhere, whenever this has come up in the past, how if law enforcement asks you to do just about anything, then you have to go ahead and just comply.
See, in his mind, it's exactly the same. You're comparing apples to apples. So his thinking there, Mike Pence's thinking aligns more perfectly with this commentator than it does with Donald Trump or any of Donald Trump's supporters. In this man's mind, if a criminal, if he's waving a gun at a police officer and a police officer says, put your gun down or we're going to shoot you, He doesn't put his gun down and he gets shot. This commentator here is going to go after the police officer. This commentator is going to want to try to defend the police officer. But as for a police state, now this is where these people love them some law enforcement. They love the police state. They love it when they're there carrying out the false narratives of the communist infiltrators. That's right. In the Gretchen Whitmer case, they were creating the extreme groups, planting the evidence, recruiting Trump supporters, and trying to incite them into this plot to kidnap and kill. That happened less than 2 years ago. FBI agents, at least 12 of them involved in this case. How many were involved in inciting January 6th? More than 12. And yet we're just supposed to let this play out? Let the communists take the lead in every case. Let them create the narrative. Let them tell you, yeah, this is an insurrection. This over here is a justified protest. Let them burn down the city. You got to do it to make a statement. This is how we bring about change. Just let them tear down Minneapolis. And then you have a protest, a lawfully organized protest on January the 6th. And you've got infiltrators, you've got insiders, instigators, like Ray Epps. They're saying, we got to go in. We got to destroy. We got to burn. We got to kill. Well, he didn't say those words specifically, but they were there. They were there inciting a riot. And as far as riots go, I mean, it was probably the least damaging and the least deadly of any of those ones that happened in the summer of 2020. Unlawful behavior should be punished in any case. But here is an agency. Here is an agency that the communists in government, the Democrat Party, uses to carry out. It's the armed wing of the Communist Party. It's a federal police force, and they're heavily armed. And when they come bashing indoors, waving their machine guns, their automatic weapons, I guess we just let it play out. It's amazing to me that again, all these people angling for a presidential run, and Mike Pence, he considers himself to be a Republican, you know, a conservative. Liz Cheney does as well, although there's reports that Joe Biden called her after the debacle Tuesday, called to console her, I guess. This radical in government. And here again, Liz Cheney's thinking aligns more perfectly with Joe Obama, just like Pence with Melber, than it does with just ordinary Americans. And when ordinary Americans have a chance to speak, if they have a chance to cast their vote, are any of these Republican candidates paying attention? Are they listening? Do they see what's actually happening when democracy has its chance to give its voice? This is from, CNN. Cheney's loss may be the second worst for a House incumbent in 60 years. We went through the stats with you yesterday. She won in 2020, I guess it was, with 73%. And then she could hardly get to 30%. Probably underneath 20% even, if you take away the Democrats that voted for her on Tuesday. Listen to this, though. The surprising story out of the Republican House primary in Wyoming wasn't that Representative Cheney lost. The pre-election polls all showed her losing handily to eventual winner Harriet Hageman. The big news from the Cowboy State was her margin of defeat. Cheney's loss is one of the biggest on record for a House incumbent, and it's part of a pattern this primary season pointing to former President Donald Trump's strength within the Republican Party. It says Cheney's defeat appears to be the second worst for a House incumbent in the last 60 years when you look at races featuring only one incumbent. And then it goes through some of the stats and figures here. It says here, as of Wednesday afternoon, she trailed Hageman by 37.4 points, which is just worse than another case in South Carolina, I think it is. It says here, assuming the Wyoming result margin stands, South Carolina Republican Bob Inglis would then be the only House incumbent in the last 60 years to lose by a wider margin than Cheney. He lost by 41 points in 2010. And then further on, it says here, Cheney's loss wasn't the only historic defeat this primary season. GOP Rep. Tom Rice of South Carolina, who also voted to impeach Trump. Are you following the pattern here? He voted to impeach Trump, got blown out in his primary in June. He pulled in a mere 24.6% of the vote while losing to Russell Fry. That percentage appears to be the worst performance for a House incumbent in a partisan primary with just one incumbent running since 1992. It says, indeed, all six House Republicans who voted to impeach Trump and ran for re-election faced tough battles. Four of them, including Cheney and Rice, lost their primaries, which is extremely unusual. This is really unusual. Incumbents. Incumbents in losing in a primary, not even in the general election later on, but the primary beforehand, to another Donald Trump-endorsed candidate. It says here, just 2% of other House Republicans who have run for re-election this season have lost primaries, and those defeated lawmakers were either scandal-plagued or lost to a fellow incumbent because of redistricting. It's very unusual. And yet, as I said to you yesterday, right on the heels of that embarrassing loss, she just got crushed. She was destroyed. And she goes on the news the next day and says, well, you know, I'm giving some thought to running for president. Mike Pence is giving a lot of thought to that as well. And so they're all creating more and more distance from Donald Trump because the deep state, I mean, the deep state hates him. Ari Melber hates him. The media, the propagandists in the media, they all hate him. And so they actually think, Pence, Cheney, all of them, they actually think, you know what would be a good platform to run on is if we just let the thing with Donald Trump play out. And of course, behind closed doors, they're like, hopefully he'll end up in jail. Hopefully it'll ruin his political career so we don't have to run against him. But nevertheless, they're out there with this message. Yeah, if you say defund the FBI, that's the same as saying defund local law enforcement agencies that are there in the cities to try to protect ordinary citizens. Listen to this take from Joe Scarborough earlier today, clip 3.
Again, he has a long, long record of losing. There's nothing right. Rational about these Republicans continuing to embrace a guy that keeps losing elections for them.
So I guess Mike Pence, he's talking, of course, there about Donald Trump. And I guess Mike Pence must be an avid listener. There's nothing rational about continuing to side with Trump. And so they're not doing it. These rhinos, they're not doing it. They're getting up and they're showing support for this federal police state. They're showing support for destroying Donald Trump, in the case of Liz Cheney. And meanwhile, just look at the issues. If they would actually address things that voters are concerned about, they'd have a lot more popularity. I guess the only one that's even close is DeSantis. But even there, you see the propagandists in the media. David Frum, he came out with his column saying that, I'm for DeSantis. I think even Alex Jones said it recently. So a lot of more conservative or Republican commentators even saying, hey, I mentioned the point that Laura Ingraham made the other day. Yeah, I'm getting the sense that Americans are exhausted by the fight. They're just tired of fighting. Well, the Wyoming vote didn't seem like that. It seems like there's plenty who are prepared to stand against this and to not just stand away and watch it play out. To not just let the agents run through Mar-a-Lago and let them do whatever they want and not hold anybody responsible. This is from Newsweek, by the way, regarding that Mar-a-Lago raid. We told you that what might have motivated this was at Conservative Treehouse as well. And it's all through our booklet, America Under Attack, how that so many of these investigations and so many of these accusations are actually meant to cover up their own lawlessness, their own criminality, Newsweek is reporting that according to two DOJ sources, these agents stormed Mar-a-Lago because they were looking for evidence for documents that would make them look bad. Trump has a lot of them. Trump knows. Trump declassified a trove of them before he left. FBI, you can see the title there. FBI sought documents Trump hoarded for years, including about Russiagate. This is from the article. It says, FBI sought documents Trump hoarded for years. Well, that's the title. It says, the raid on Mar-a-Lago last Monday was specifically intended to recover Donald Trump's personal stash, they say, of hidden documents. And again, Newsweek has gotten quite a few things flat out wrong in the last couple weeks. So I do have to tell you it's Newsweek. But that said, it aligns with what we've said is likely the motivating factor, or at least one of the motivations, to come up with this excuse. Well, you know, it's the Presidential Records Act, and we've got to make sure these things are returned to the National Archives. And then later, it's the nuclear secrets. It says two high-level U.S. intelligence officials tell Newsweek, to justify the unprecedented raid on a former president's residence and protect the source who revealed the existence of Trump's private hoard, agents went into Trump's residence on the pretext that they were seeking all government documents, says one official who had been involved in the investigation, but the true target was this private stash, which Justice Department officials feared Donald Trump might weaponize. This is from Newsweek magazine. I guess they don't have a magazine anymore, but it's from Newsweek. They feared that Donald Trump, it's an information war. It's a war over the truth. And one side wants to cover up the truth about their own criminal behavior. And then you've got people like Mike Pence saying, hey, look, trust the FBI and let's just let the facts play out here. Just kind of let it unfold. We'll see what happens. Yeah, we did that during the Russian collusion hoax as well. Hunter Biden, cover that up. And then find out 2 years down the road, year and a half later, what about the Russia hoax? Same thing. Just do anything you can to destroy Donald Trump and then cover up your tracks along the way. Is that why they raided Mar-a-Lago? According to these two officials cited in this Newsweek piece, they collected everything that rightfully belonged to the U.S. government, but the true target was these documents that Trump had been collecting since early in his administration, says the source, who was granted anonymity to discuss sensitive issues. It says the sought-after documents deal with a variety of intelligence matters of interest to the former president, the officials suggest, including material that Trump apparently thought would exonerate him of any claims of Russian collusion in 2016 or any other election-related charges. See, if he has those documents, you can see why he will want to hang on to copies. Because you've got people like Bill Barr out there covering it up, not releasing it, even after it's declassified. He wanted this to exonerate himself from this hoax of a conspiracy, from this attempted coup. And the coup was in many ways successful for the communist left because they were able to steal the election. Just let the FBI officials do whatever they want. Let it play out. If you call on defunding the FBI, that's the same as the communists calling for the police to be defunded in 2020. Is it? Is that really the way Mike Pence thinks? What a revealing comment. What a revealing remark. It says here, the two U.S. officials with direct knowledge of the situation tell Newsweek that while some of the intelligence documents might have dealt with nuclear weapons, that was not the main focus. That's another way of saying they just made that up. They got to make it serious because, like all the talking heads said, of course, the FBI is not just going to raid up. Well, check that. It's not really a raid. It's just a search. It's just a little search. And they're not going to search someone's property unless it's really serious. I mean, we're talking about something really serious here. It says further on, it wasn't the subject matter per se that was of interest to justice. as it was the fear that Trump might weaponize the information. See, the DOJ's got to get in there and ransack the place and collect these documents because they fear that Donald Trump might weaponize the information. It really is a war over the truth. My father gets into that in America Under Attack. I'll go through that with you in just a second. It says here, Trump was particularly interested in matters related to the Russia hoax and the wrongdoings of the deep state, one former Trump official tells Newsweek. Further on, it says, the high-level U.S. government officials explained that it was not necessarily the classification level of the documents, nor even their subject matter that investigators were focused on. All official documents, regardless of classification, are required to be returned to the archives. And surely, further on, but it is accurate to think about what was retrieved at Mar-a-Lago as two distinct sets of documents, those that were being openly sought under the Presidential Records Act and those that formed part of Donald Trump's stash, as Newsweek calls it. In fact, it's just Donald Trump's defense of himself, his record. Because he came under attack the moment he came down that escalator in 2015. All of these investigations, and now an FBI raid even, and all of his associates, his attorneys, pre-dawn raids, put in handcuffs, shackled. And we're supposed to just let it play out? We're not anyone calling for defunding the federal police state? Is the equivalent of Kamala Harris or AOC in 2020 saying these local law enforcement agencies ought to be defunded? Well, they had some pretty good success with that defunding project. That's why the crime is skyrocketing in major cities all across the United States. But when it comes to the federal police state, the national police state, Ari Melber, I mean, he's very supportive of just, hey, open the door, let them in. Give them anything that they want and let it play out. Just let's get to the facts. So much corruption. So much corruption. This is from America Under Attack, as one of our news gatherers was saying today. I mean, it's exactly like the Antiochus of old and what he did to the Jews. The heart of the conflict that we're talking about here between Antiochus and Jeroboam is a war over truth and information. Look at the narratives. Look at the false narratives that are all around us. Antiochus, anciently, he sent armed troops throughout Judah to burn copies of the Torah, to blot out the truth. We've taken you through some of the history that we went through with Mystery of the Ages. They tried to blot it out. That's the way Satan operates. I went through this morning in Principles of Living. The students, the freshmen here at God's College, and we used The Missing Dimension in Sex as a textbook for that class. It was authored by Mr. Armstrong many, many years ago. And it's as timely today as it was back when he finished the final vision, a version of it, at 1981, I think it was. In any event, they tried to blot out Missing Dimension in Sex. I gave two quotes to the students this morning, one from 1977. And Mr. Armstrong, at that point, he's on his deathbed before God raised him back to life. He's on his deathbed. And here come these insurrectionists sending out notices saying, you know, Missing Dimension in Sex, it's a little bit outdated. And we ran out of copies and it's expensive to print. So it's just going to be on hold until, you know, if Mr. Armstrong makes a decision later. They were hoping he would die, but of course he didn't die. So he comes back. He comes back with a new version, an updated version, 1981. And then he dies in 1986. And what do they do? By 1989, just 2-3 years into it, Missing Dimension in Sex, we've determined that that's now outdated and it's expensive. And some of the same things they said about Mystery of the Ages. And the goal is to blot out the information. As I was telling the students this morning, when you have a textbook that so many people have worked so hard to erase, to blot out, there must be something awfully important in that book. And hopefully you'll hang on to it. Like the Bible says, hold fast to these traditions, to this truth, to sound doctrine. Hold on to it. Cherish the truth. Love the truth. That's the problem with the Laodiceans. 2 Thessalonians 2 brings that out. They didn't love it. They had the truth, but they didn't love it, and so they lost it. And so here you have this war between Antiochus and between Jeroboam. And as I say, my father discusses this subject in America Under Attack. It says here, Satan is always working to cast the truth to the ground. He's always, always working. So if there's some incriminating evidence in Melania's closet, send in the agents. Let's get it out of their possession and let's just keep it buried. Let's keep it buried. That's what Newsweek says. Now, I think, again, Sundance is a lot more reputable as far as sources are concerned. But if Newsweek is coming along and saying this, according to two DOJ officials, my father writes, God is a God of truth. His word is truth. His law is true and right. And keeping it makes our lives happy, orderly, and blessed. His way is the way of goodness, righteousness, law, and order. You can look at John 17 and verse 17, where it says God's word is truth. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 40 speaks of God as being a God of decency and order. It's such a wonderful blessing to have God's truth in our lives, in our homes, to build our marriages and our families on that foundation of God's word. It says here, a truthful, law-abiding society, even keeping man-made laws, is far more stable than a lawless one. Look at how unstable we are as a nation. All these FBI raids. Donald Trump's out of town. He had all of these communications with DOJ officials. And then all of a sudden, bam, out comes the search warrant. In come the law enforcement officials, the police state, these federal agents with their guns, guns drawn. This is what we've turned into because of a complete and total breakdown of law and order. Just like Tucker said on his show Monday night, this was not done. This raid wasn't conducted to uphold law and order, just the opposite. It was a communist power grab. It was the police state in action. My father says here, Bible prophecy shows that after Satan was cast down, he retaliated with a three-pronged attack. First, he attacked God's church, spiritual Israel. Second, he attacked three nations of prophetic Israel in this end time, especially the lead nation, the United States. And third, he works through the Holy Roman Empire to destroy these nations militarily. It says that is Satan's master plan for destroying spiritual and physical Israel. Looking at these prophecies and viewing actual events, actual end time events, it is clear the devil uses an Antiochus type in all three phases. So we see the parallels, you see, and you can look back in our war over Mystery of the Ages, in our fight to be able to print and to distribute God's truth. You can look back at that history with respect to spiritual Israel and really see the parallels to what's happening today. A war over truth. A war over information. My father says all three of these Antiochus-type men work from within. One as a lover, it says, quoting Ezekiel 23, to do their destructive work. It says also, finally, also all three try to blot out the name of Israel. They're hard at work trying to destroy, trying to blend. That's as much a part of the story as it is to plant evidence or to attack someone who's just obeying the laws, to frame somebody. As part of that, of course, they've got to cover up their own tracks, cover up their own lawlessness. It says Satan wants to totally blot out that name, which represents God's master plan for all mankind who has ever lived. He just wants to blot out the truth. And when he can't do that, he'll try to twist and distort and malign. I mean, there was a time going back to before there were printing presses when, you know, he didn't want copies of the Bible circulating. He didn't want that message to spread. He wanted everybody looking to the Catholic Church. Just believe what the priest says about the Bible. And then the print press comes along and more copies are made and people are able to read it for themselves. And so then he begins the false narratives and the preachers that twist and distort what's said, or they take one verse out of context and tell you, and then of course you add to that, that if people aren't interested or motivated enough to actually look into the book themselves, well, they're going to believe a false preacher. They're going to believe someone who comes along and lies. Why would the Department of Justice, why would they even be concerned about what some document says? And then you hear these people, it belongs to the government. Well, who put the government there? Is this a democracy? Like I said on yesterday's program, these communists through and through, they are appalled when someone would come out and say, you know what, we put you there, we can vote you out. We actually have some say here. But like I pointed out, with respect to the police state, the federal law enforcement agency that's been weaponized by Barack Obama, there's no oversight. There's no oversight. It's so easy for them just to come before the committee and say, I can't answer that. I can't answer it. No oversight, no representation from just ordinary people, ordinary Americans. What a terrifying scenario, as one of you brought out a few weeks back. You know, it's sad when you think about how many people just don't know why all of this is happening. I think a lot are terrified, and they're responding, and they're coming out in droves to just get people out who are so obsessed, so blinded by rage, like Liz Cheney, and I think to some extent Mike Pence as well. Should be an interesting few months leading up to the midterms, but then even after that, all of these politicians maneuvering in their lust for power. They want power. I wish I would have brought this other quote that I read from Mr. Armstrong in class this morning. He was just contrasting God's way of life, the way of love, the way of unselfish, outflowing concern for others. He was contrasting that with the way of the devil, the way of lust and vanity and greed and competition and strife and lies and deceit. Satan is the god of this world. Revelation 12 says he's been cast down to this earth and he's confined to this earth. And the Bible says, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and the sea even. Woe unto them. Because Satan has come down to you, it says. And he has great wrath because he knows his time is short. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to submit some feedback to the show, you can email us, td@thetrumpet.com. Don't forget our toll-free number as well, 1-866-930-3024. Call our operators today and request your free copy of America Under Attack. I might also just mention Great Again. We had some pretty good quotes from that in the program yesterday. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily.
What has happened to the United States of America? The wealthiest, most powerful nation in human history is suddenly divided, weakened, radical. The evil in America has grown powerful. The good has grown weak. The honorable parts of American history are succumbing to a direct, targeted, sustained assault. Someone, something is dismantling America's history, purpose, and character.
Fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
Political dysfunction, social strife, economic peril, catastrophic moral failure, fires, attacks, riots, lies. The nation is being attacked from within by its own leaders. Powerful elites in government, journalism, academia, and beyond are intentionally, rapidly destroying what America is in order to make it into something else. There is a reason why your nation is crumbling before your eyes. There is a spirit and a specific perpetrator that is attempting to blot out America.
Only America Under Attack reveals that perpetrator and the motive and spirit behind him. This newly expanded book shows you the reason why America has changed so dramatically, so suddenly. If you're confused and concerned about what is happening to America, request your free copy of America Under Attack by Gerald Fleury at thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
Even in just listening to that promo there, the attack that America is coming under, the evil that is there. I mean, I went through the first segment about, you know, the difference between just, you know, stepping back and letting it all run its course or play out. A lot of people really think that way, even conservative thinkers. And there's a lot of people, sadly, in religion too, that just want to sort of let sin run its course. Just let it go, and maybe it'll eventually run out of steam. God says that we should confront the sin. And when we see it, when he makes it known, then to use the power of God to root it out, to remove it like leaven during the days of unleavened bread or in the lead up to the days of unleavened bread. These are all lessons from your Bible. They're not talked about in the world of religion today because Satan, like it says in 2 Corinthians 4, Satan has blinded this world to the truth of the gospel. The world is blind. The world is deceived. And so they don't go through these festivals each year. They don't obey God's commands to keep these days holy in the case of the spring holy days. And so they're not reminded of the lesson of leaven. Get it out or else it's going to spread. It's going to spread right through the entire lump, the entire loaf of bread. Just takes a little pinch of it. That's the way sin is. And that's why the nation, the United States and other Israelite nations, that's why we see so many curses. Curses are really setting in, and it all gets back to, I mean, the root cause is sin. That's the source of our problems. That's why there's sickness. Sickness and disease. It's interesting, I gave a lecture recently on human nature and how that the heart is deceitful and wicked and evil, hostile to the law of God. Jeremiah 17:9, Jeremiah 17:5, the curse of trusting in man because of this evil heart. And Romans 8:7, how that it's hostile to God's law. So there's a sickness. And Jesus spoke to this in the Gospels, saying that you need a physician to heal the human heart because of that sickness. Well, then you spin over to Isaiah 1, where it talks about the sickness in Israel that goes from head to toe. Well, where did that sickness start? It starts in the heart of man. And we've just let it run its course. See, the founders, they put all these checks in place, these checks and balances, because they understood a thing or two about human nature. They understood a thing or two. Now, they didn't have God's Spirit. Their minds weren't open to the truth in its entirety, but they certainly had more truth as far as the Bible is concerned than the educators and the experts of today. That's why they put in place the checks and balances, because of the evil human heart of man, to make sure that one agency doesn't go rogue or one branch isn't able to just have total power. We're seeing what happens right now when any of those things occur. There's no, what happens to a branch of government created years ago with good intentions, you know, and it was much, much smaller then. It was an extension of the executive branch. But then now you look at these massive bureaucracies today in the administrative state. There's no representation. There's zero oversight for the most part. Lots of people just say, hey, just these are FBI agents after all. They would never lie They would never steal. They would never plant evidence. They would never create. They would never create a crime. They would never incite a crime. And in many ways, that's all they've been doing over the last 3, 4, 5 years. And the target, their primary target, of course, is Donald Trump. Romans 1 and verse 24, it says, "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves." God just said, I covered some of this with you last week, but God just said, because they didn't retain him in their knowledge, he gave them up to the uncleanness of the lusts in their heart. He just, in this case, God has a hands-off policy and says, okay, I'll let it run its course. And that'll be part of the lesson of these 6,000 years. And hopefully you'll get to the end of it and see and just be sickened by what it is when we reject God, what it turns into when we don't retain God in our knowledge, when we don't have the Bible as our guide. It's supposed to be a lamp for our feet, it says in the Psalms. Are we using it for that today? Look at verse 28, it says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate or worthless mind to do those things which are not convenient or improper or lawless or evil." This is where we are today. This is what happens when you don't retain God in your knowledge. Verse 29 continues, "Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters." If an FBI agent doesn't have someone, you know, with some oversight to prevent this sort of behavior just running its course, you're going to have a lot of corruption in law enforcement. You certainly will. It says in verse 32, "Though they know God's decree," it says, "that those who do such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but approve those who practice them." See, we declare our sins as Sodom, just like it says over in Isaiah 1, Isaiah 3. We're proud. We're proud of our lifestyles. We're proud of our sinful behavior. We want to promote it. We want to spread it. And it's just like I said this morning in Principles of Living. I mean, you look at curses like the curse of pornography, which is just destroying families. It's just turning marriages upside down. It's hurting our society. And yet it's so ubiquitous. It's just available online. It's on the highways that you drive down. It's everywhere. It's so easily accessible. And it's cheap, oftentimes free. And a lot of times you can maintain anonymity. You can do it in the privacy of your own house. And it's just so destructive. It's destroying families. God says if sinners lead you down that path, to turn and run from them. Proverbs 1 and verse 10, it says, "My son, if sinners entice you, consent you not." Don't give consent. Don't give in. Don't go along with it and just sort of let it run its course. Stay like verse 15 says. 15 says, "My son, walk not you in the way with them. Refrain your foot from their path." Just stay away from their path. Stay away from those wrong influences. Stay away from these corruptors. Proverbs 28 and verse 4, it says, "They that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them." See, this is how one of our viewers sent me this proverb a while back. But this is how you explain the swooning that goes on around all of these corrupt politicians, Barack Obama and others. How have they escaped investigation, shakedowns, raids? When they go from, you know, I told you yesterday, Liz Cheney went from 7 million to 14 million. I saw a report yesterday said it was more like 45 million. She's been in Congress for 5.5 years, and her net worth goes from $7 million to $45 million? How is this possible? How are these people becoming so filthy rich in the administrative state, in Washington, D.C., in the swamp? About the only one to take a hit, as I said yesterday, was Donald Trump. He lost half of his fortune during those 4 years he was in office. It says a lot. They go there and they lust for power and they lust for money. And why? Because of the deceitful human heart. They think they're doing a righteous service to the American people. So much so that you can get absolutely shellacked. People can show up in droves and say, "We don't want you ever again in politics." And she gets up the next day and says, "I think I might run for president." This is a system that's corrupt through and through. It's a sick system, like Isaiah prophesied. Sickness, top to bottom. Verse 7, the little book of Jude at the end of the New Testament, it says, "Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire." See, we have so many examples for us in Scripture. God says, look, now look at what happened to those sin-drenched cities. Look at what happened to Sodom. Look at what happened to Gomorrah. As Mr. Armstrong used to always say, universal sin, if it's widespread sin right across the nation, universal sin leads to universal destruction. And we've got examples, so many examples. Sodom and Gomorrah, the days of the flood during Noah's day. God's trying to teach us a lesson. God hopes we learn the lesson before the fire of Sodom and Gomorrah comes again, or the flood of nuclear warfare extinguishes almost all life from this earth. That's what Jesus said will happen. You can read that for yourself in Matthew 24. A few verses here in Ephesians 1. Ephesians 5. This is Ephesians 5 and verse 1. It says, "Be you therefore followers of God as dear children." Follow in the steps of Jesus Christ. First Peter 2 and verse 21. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, "Follow me as I follow Christ." And here he says much the same. Be followers of God. Follow the father of the family. Follow the head of the family. Verse 3, it says, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becomes saints." Don't let it even be named among you. If we're going to blot out anything, let it be sin. Certainly not the truth or the name of Israel. But blot out those sins. It says in verse 4, "Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks." See, just blot out all of this sinful behavior and give thanks to God. It says in verse 5, "For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ, in the kingdom of Christ and of God." Seek first, in other words, seek first God's kingdom, the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of God. Seek first his kingdom and, as Matthew 6:33 says, and his righteousness. What a miraculous transformation it is to go from, as I told the students at orientation, to go from that carnal, wicked, sinful nature to actually transform into a son of God. It's a process. It does take time to overcome those sinful pulls and to just surrender your life to the God above. But what a miraculous transformation it is, and what a victory it is in the end. To be able to say, like Paul did at the end of his ministry, "I've made it. I've made it, and I know there's a crown waiting for me." You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.